live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud LLP. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back. Hour number four. We usually don't do that. We usually stop at three. So we've got a wide open hour here, too. So if you missed any of the first 3 hours, all available, podcastarena.com. And we've got lots of interviews on there. We've got we had Solomon Wilcots. We had Dana White. We had Danny Cadnell. We had Teddy Bridgewater. We had Jim Stuckey, Wade Smith. Just had Greg Cosell on. So a lot of good interviews that if you missed them, go catch them on podcastarena.com. And starting to thin out in here a little bit, it looks like. Usually have to
good.
It this time of night. Yeah, well, one thing that they do
now
here.
Now we can actually do some radio.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm hoping. Because one of the things that they've started doing here the last few years is that fans can actually come in and I guess they buy tickets to come in here.
Yes.
And now, the only real problem is that if you have to use the facilities, it creates a long line sometimes,
right.
And we've got very short breaks.
But the celebrities tend to want to leave when the fans come into that paid to come in here start coming in because these guys are wanting pictures and autographs and things like that, and that's kind of a beating. It makes it tougher on us, unfortunately, but that is what it is, and I don't necessarily mind it. I think this is one of those, you know, these shows. I know I'm getting the tweets from you guys. I know this isn't the most exciting kind of radio show. We get it. But we've got to play the game like everybody else. Would we love to just do our show out here? Sure. But that's not why they're paying to fly us out here and spend
right.
the week. So.
And putting us on the network
and
all of that. So it is. There's been an awful lot of money to have us here. So, and this is why. It's to try to get as many interviews as possible. This is how it works. But you know, we'll get some good interviews, and we've had some good interviews today. And then we'll have a few where you just kind of go, eh. So we'll see how it. We'll see how that plays out. But, in fact, I think we might have another one right now.
No. No, okay.
Ah, awesome. We will have Brian Baldinger on the show, which is always fun. Been a while. Brian,
thank you,
good to see you.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
So,
good day?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Been a great day. It's always a great day when we're here at the Super Bowl, man.
Well, I think so. It's the finish line, isn't it? Yeah.
Almost.
Then we kind of like just sort of check out for a little while afterwards.
That's the plan.
Decompress and get out of the country and go have some real fun.
I like that. I like that shirt and tie combo.
Thank you.
It looks good, man.
Yeah,
it looks good. Looking sharp.
Do a little TV this morning, man. So I'm just
good for
wrapping
you.
Up the day here.
Good for you.
Thanks.
You're looking fashionable. I like it. Stylish.
Well, I mean, there's some people that are fashionable, and then you know, there's Cam. You know, there's
right.
two different levels.
Yeah. Well, you can only keep up with who you could keep up with. You know how
I'm not
it is.
Trying to.
I. You do a lot of stuff with NFL Network and doing games. What's your? I mean, do you enjoy all those? Do you like the variety, or is there one thing that you really prefer to do? Whether it's you know just actually doing the games or doing the commentating, or what is it that you like doing the most?
There's nothing like doing games. Nothing. I do the college games for Fox, the Big 12, and I do the NFL on national radio. And there's just nothing that compares to being there live, being there at the game. Down the field as, you know, the buzz sort of builds and that whole feeling, you know, inside any stadium. I love all this other stuff, don't get me wrong, but if you ask me, games are number one.
And I kind of get that because I can tell from when you can almost hear how excited you are to actually be at the game. And I think you bring that to the person listening or watching, which I think is a pretty damn good skill. Did you ever see – at what point did you see yourself getting into doing TV and things like this and obviously some radio? At what point in your life did you decide, hey, this might be something that will work out?
I remember I was playing in Philadelphia, and Matt Millen was doing a game at CBS with Dick Stockton, and he was doing our game, Philadelphia, whoever, Washington, whatever. And he asked me if I was interested in it, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Yeah. And then I was just questioning, like, how do you get it done? So, you know, they had NFL Europe back in the day. For Fox, and I was doing, you know, local high school games in Philadelphia when I got done playing. I did some local Comcast games, and, you know, Fox brought me on board back in 1997, and I've been doing it ever since. So it was, you know, I started from the grassroots level, but I hope I never have to give up doing games. I love it.
NFL Europe was kind of a cool concept in that, and it provided a league there that some guys actually came from, went to the NFL. Do you think there that any point we'll ever get back to having something similar to that that serves as a feeder league for some guys or maybe borderline?
I hope so. We need it. You know, I mean, we have to develop players somehow. We're not doing it. The college game is different, and the NFL is too restricted by how they can kind of develop players, especially quarterbacks. But we had an unbelievable success, you know, whether it was Jake Delhomme or Kurt Warner and, you know, all those guys. And the coaches that came out of there, Jim Haslett, you know, Jimmy Tomsula, you know, the people at Fox, whether it's Rich Russo or Troy Aikman or myself or Bill Moss. I mean, we all kind of came through that rank. It was a boondoggle, don't get me wrong. We had our fun. We kept it over there. We're not here to tell you the stories, but we had our fun. But we need something right now, really, to find out who can play and who can't play. And those that can, let's get them some games. You know, the only way to get better at right guard is by playing right guard.
And, well, being based in Houston, obviously, finding a quarterback that you can develop has been an issue there from the beginning.
Yeah.
Seems like that would be a good stepping stone place for some of these guys who, you know, because – CFL, it's a different game, and you don't get the same skill set, just like you don't in college. And I think it'd be kind of cool to have that again.
We do too.
So you also do sporting news radio during football season, right?
Yeah. Well, we do. I do a show back in Philadelphia on the Fanatic 97.5, the Fanatic in Philadelphia. So we have I can't do it every day, but we have a 6 to 10 show in the morning that starts our day. I do the show on Thursday. We just call it the Meat Locker. It's just football, you know, just athletes sitting in there telling stories. We don't even take any calls. It's been great. We love it, you know. So, I do shows, you know, all over the country, you know, weekly, just spots, just talking about the NFL, the college game. So I'm on the radio quite a bit, and I like it.
I want to talk to you about the Eagles. To me, it's a total mess going on there right now. I mean, obviously the Chip Kelly thing didn't work out. Now they've got they hired Doug Peterson, which I think is a questionable hire at best. I mean, you're talking about the guy who was the OC for the Chiefs, who have a terrible offense. You know, Howie Roseman's in charge of the team basically now, it seems, which is something that you wouldn't have expected. I mean, what's going on there? Do you think the Chip Kelly mistake, this is all sort of fallout
it's
from
that? Aftermath. It's the aftermath of, you know, the Chip Kelly experiment that went, you know, I mean, it was, if, I don't know if, I think there was such a thing called 24-hour divorce. I mean, it was a 24-hour divorce with Chip Kelly and Jeffrey Lurie. And then the search that was conducted thereafter, I don't believe was very – you know, I think the Howie Roseman situation hung over the head of Adam Gase and Ben McAdoo, guys that had interviewed for the job. And I think they were concerned with just what the structure in the front office is going to be. And now that Jeff is there and, you know, Jeff is – you know, he doesn't want to really deal with personnel. So Howie's back in place. He was Jeff's hand-pointed guy. And there's always been a power struggle inside the Philadelphia organization since Jeff Lurie took over, and it doesn't look like it's really going to stop at this point.
What about this game Sunday? How do you see this playing out?
Well, I've been in love with Carolina all year long. I mean, I just thought that they were a complete team, you know, in every way, and that the quarterback makes everybody better. He's the MVP of this league. Luke Kuechly can be, you know, with him and J.J. Watt are the two best defensive players in this league. And so they're well-led, they're well-coached. And they play like it. And so I don't think that just because Denver's coming along or just because it's the Super Bowl or the biggest stage that anything's going to change for Carolina. They look like the most confident team. They execute like it. And I don't think it's going to stop on Sunday.
You think this is Peyton's last rodeo, as he told Bill Belichick?
Yeah, I do. I think Peyton, you know, he knows the history of this league. He knows from Johnny Unitas up. You know, Johnny stayed too long and Namath stayed too long. And a lot of guys stayed too long. And I don't, you know, I think he's probably right there on the cusp of staying too long. I don't think he's going to do that. I think he knows that this league is built upon the younger players and the generation coming up, especially with the guy across the field from him, is the future of this league.
All right, we'll be right back. That's Brian Baldinger. Brian, really appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks.
Live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud LLP. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back here, Radio Row in San Francisco. Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman. If you want to get in touch with us, a couple ways to do it. There's the there's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at A.J. is the real. And there's our text line, 713-780-3776.
I project that you hit 10,000 followers on Twitter this week.
You think?
I think this is the week.
I'm getting close.
I think it happens.
I'm going to have to check and see where I am exactly. But I think I'm at 9. I think about 48 short last
time. Oh, that's going to
46
happen.
Short, actually.
You're being broadcast nationally. It's got
to
happen.
Yeah, but I used to broadcast nationally every week, too. So we'll see.
Tweet out a nude. That'll do it.
No, that'll get rid of a bunch of them.
Oh. Well, not a nude of you.
Not a nude of me, just some
other
nude.
No, yeah, just somebody else.
Okay, then maybe I'll do that.
That's a good idea.
All right.
That's how AD got all his followers.
Yeah?
Yep, nudes.
Yeah, but he sent one of himself.
Yep.
I could send one of AD, I guess.
That's true. Just retweet his.
Yeah, if I just retweet, I'll retweet you. That's the easiest way to do it. I promised you this story last hour, and then we've got a couple of guests, so I'd like to get to it now. This is the equivalent of what we call our gem of the day on our local show. Okay, we've seen flights have to be diverted because of violence on the plane before.
Yeah.
Fights, people getting into it. I think this is a new one. This is from Boarding Area, which is a blog about air travel.
Okay. It
says... He wrote about a Delta flight from Los Angeles to Minneapolis that had to be diverted to Salt Lake City, apparently because of an unruly crew. The pilot was said to have told air traffic control he wanted to hear from his flight attendants. 40 minutes later, the plane was diverted to Salt Lake City, and after an 80-minute delay, the flight continued to Minneapolis, apparently with replacements for three of the cabin crew. Delta then sent an apology note to customers for team members who, quote, did not display their best behavior. Here's apparently what happened. Two flight attendants were disagreeing over work issues and got into a fist fight.
Like, hey, Suzanne, a drunk guy pissed on the toilet seat in the bathroom, or in the lavatory, as they call it. It's your turn to clean it up. And Suzanne says, no, Brenda, it's your turn. You're new. You're the new girl on the plane. You need to clean up the urine. Either, something like that, you think?
It might be that. It might be, I want to be seatbelt person.
Right. I want to sing the song at the end of the flight.
Yeah.
I don't want to push the drink cart the second time through. I'm always the person who goes behind with the trash bag and picks up the cups. Typical, you know, catfight stuff, but just in the air.
Yeah.
Well, I could see that.
Apparently, they engaged in a fist fight.
Nice.
And a third lady, who we'll call Ethel, was trying to calm the other two down, and she got pummeled.
Oh, no.
So
she caught a wild punch.
Yeah, so the purser informed the flight deck, and the captain decided to divert, and they took them all off the plane, all three of them.
Yeah, that's probably a firing, right?
Well, yeah, I would think so, because aren't they primarily there for our safety?
Yeah.
Isn't that – that's what I thought, right?
Like, if flights are getting diverted because you can't get your act together for a flight, like, you know, when it's your job to, you know, teach me how to wear a seatbelt and bring me apple juice, you don't have the hardest job in the world. If you can't keep from fighting during that, yeah, you're probably fired.
I would hope so. I would guess the third one that was trying to break it up and just got friendly fired would probably not be fired.
She may be safe.
Yeah,
but the other two, for sure.
Yeah, but anyway, I wanted to share that story because
I wish that happened on our flight.
Oh, that'd be fun.
It would have sucked to have our flight diverted, but it'd
have been cool to take pictures.
It might have been worth it.
Yeah, yeah, it would have been worth it, and we could have taken pictures. It would have gone viral. And then we could have linked those back to our show page. That'd have been great. And you know what? I wouldn't mind a little delay on a long flight like that. It wouldn't be bad to get out and stretch your legs and watch them drag off some bleeding flight attendant.
We probably would have stopped off in Phoenix or Flagstaff or someplace like that. Not the most ideal spot.
No, but if they stopped in Las Vegas,
that'd be okay.
Maybe we'll just stay a day.
Yeah.
Maybe we can do that.
That would be okay. Not okay, Salt Lake City.
No.
We don't want to do that.
No, that. Although, I mean, they're going to Minneapolis, so it's not like.
True.
They're going that far up the social scale. But anyway, 713-780-3776 is the text line if you want to get in on the show. And that was the equivalent of our Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day, and I'm glad we finally got that story in. So Double Down says, I think it's flight attendants or what they like to be called now, not stewardesses. Right.
Right. They're against that.
Would have bet anything as one of those evening flights to Vegas. I think it's more the evening flights from Vegas, and I could see that being a possibility, but L.A. to Minneapolis, I mean, really, what is there to fight over?
I don't know. I don't know who's fighting over that stuff.
Yeah, anyway. Okay, there are some things that I had also been promising you we'd do, which is some of the prop bet possibilities out there and some of the weird ones. I do want to mention that we thought we were getting Terrence Williams at some point this hour, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen. So I don't know.
Yeah, Terrence Williams apparently missed his flight.
Ah.
All right.
It happens.
All right. I can't hate because I almost did the same thing on the way here.
Yeah, you got there just in time. But, we've all missed flights at one time or another. So, unfortunately, I don't know that we'll be able to get him in tomorrow because –
No, he's screwed.
We're going to wind up dumping a pretty good guest tomorrow is my prediction.
Yeah.
Simply because we got too many.
Somebody's
going to
get the bump.
Do you see that?
And I'm going to make you deliver the news. You're going to have to look him in the eye.
No, that's what we have Pearson here for.
I want you to look him dead in the eye and say, hey, man.
This guy doesn't want you. I'll point to you.
We found a better guest, so sorry.
So A.J. Hoffman said he would much rather interview person B than you, so thank you.
Sorry, bud.
But if you really wanted to get on, today was your day to do it. Yeah, if you're kind of a borderline person.
Yeah, today was our lightest guest day, and that's saying something because I feel like we had 100 guests on.
Yeah. And we're just we don't usually have this many guests, so it's always going to feel like there's hundreds of guests.
Right.
But still. All right. As far as the prop bets go, I don't know if I want to start this now or wait for next segment because I did want to mention, you see, this kind of came out of nowhere, the Canelo Alvarez fight.
Yeah.
With Amir Khan.
I mean, I guess it's a fight. But it's not the fight I was hoping they'd be announcing. I'm still waiting for that Canelo Golovkin announcement. And
I really thought that was what was coming next.
I guess if it comes, it's going to come at the end of the year. So that's it's disappointing. I mean, but any match with Canelo is going to make money.
Yeah,
it'll be a money maker.
And I'm not. I mean, I like Amir Khan, but I don't think he's.
No, he's not beating Canelo.
He's not beating Canelo, and so I guess the Golovkin fight would still be out there, but. Anyway,
that's the fight to make for sure.
That's the one I wanted to see. But.
That fight and Kovalev Andre Ward, that's the two fights in 2016 that I'm excited about in the boxing world.
All right. We are going to take a very quick break. All right. It's a short break. I don't know about very quick, but it's a short break.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll go through some of the prop bets that will be available on Sunday. Or we'll grab another guest if one of them happens to wander in. Don't go anywhere. Brett Fowler, A.J. Hoffman, here in San Francisco.
Live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud LLP. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back here in San Francisco, Radio Row, getting ready for Super Bowl number 50. And, of course, next year, Super Bowl will be in our backyard in Houston, Texas.
Yeah, in a way that'll be cool because, you know, we'll be able to sleep in our own bed.
It's like playing a home game.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I haven't seen, though, is like the little setup for Houston next year.
I haven't seen that either. Maybe it'll be here later, but I'm worried that they're going to bring that mascot, and it's going to be really embarrassing.
Yeah, and we're going to have to destroy that mascot.
Yeah.
But you know what? Maybe we can make off with the mascot.
Maybe. Make out with it?
Make off with. Not make out. No.
I was going to say, that'd be super weird and borderline unethical.
Well, it'd be an awful small person fitting in that thing, so it'd have to be somewhat of legal age.
Right.
All right, I think prop bets on the Super Bowl have gotten a little out of hand in that there's four different prop bets just on the coin toss.
I mean, how many props can there be?
Well, would you like to hear them? I'll give you all four.
The coin didn't flip.
That's not one of them.
Flip.
heads versus tails.
Okay, so makes sense.
You can bet on heads or tails.
That's pretty typical.
You can bet on the team to win the coin toss, Panthers or Broncos.
That makes sense also.
You can bet, will the team that wins the coin toss win the game?
Okay.
Or will the team that chooses heads or tails in the coin toss be correct? So
that's a lot.
Yeah, so there are actually four bets. All right, here's one for you. How long will it take Lady Gaga to sing the national anthem? Over 220.
Ooh, she's very dramatic. I'm going to go over.
Yeah, the average length is 157, but that's...
Lady Gaga puts on a show.
Yeah, she
and,
does.
I think she's kind of been out of the spotlight lately. I think it's time for her to really
She'll
show
drag
off.
That sucker out.
Yeah.
And I bet she bets the over, too.
She's ridiculously talented, by the way. I'm not, like, a huge fan of her music, but that chick can sing.
Yeah, she can. I'm with you. I'm not really a fan of what she sings.
Right.
But some of the stuff that she's done sort of out of genre has been really good.
Yeah, she's good.
Okay.
I heard her just with piano and, like, acapella, like not acapella, but just a piano and her voice.
Yeah.
On Howard Stern's show.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Really?
Unbelievable. Like moved me even.
What was the one she did? I saw her do a duet with somebody that you wouldn't think, and it was really good.
Was it Elton John?
No, it wasn't Elton John. It was somebody like that, though.
I don't know.
I can't remember who it was. I'll have to look it up, but it was really good. It was like Tony Bennett or somebody like
that.
Oh,
yeah, it is Tony Bennett. Yeah, she does a lot of stuff with him.
That was really good. All right, back to the rest of the odds, though. First scoring play, touchdown, minus 145. Field goal or safety, plus 115.
Give me field goal.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that. Okay, first score of the game. Here's your exact outcomes. Panthers touchdown, plus 150. Panthers field goal, plus 350. I like that one. Panthers safety, plus 3,300. Broncos touchdown, plus 225. Broncos field goal, plus 375. Broncos safety, plus 3,300.
Now, this is just me. Help me out if my math's wrong. You said for the first score of the game to be a field goal, it was plus 130 or something like that?
Plus 115, plus first scoring play.
Plus 115?
And then Panthers field goals plus 350.
Broncos plus 375.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be smarter to just bet both of those separately instead of betting it straight up?
Yeah.
Because it's not like there's a third team that can sneak in and kick a field goal.
Right.
You're getting way better odds if you bet.
Yeah,
even if you bet on both, like your loss will be recovered and some.
So this is Odd Shark. I probably should have gone to Bovada and gotten theirs. But, okay, first touchdown score, Cam Newton, 7-1. Greg Olsen, 7.5-1. Jonathan Stewart, 8-1. C.J. Anderson, 9-1. Damaris Thomas, 9-1. Emmanuel Sanders, 9-1. Ted Ginn, 10-1. Owen Daniels, 14.
Give me some Emmanuel Sanders stock and some Owen Daniels stock.
Yeah, I think I agree. And
maybe a little Greg Olsen.
I might take a little Ted Ginn stock.
You think so?
1,000,
okay.
Yeah. Field, plus 550.
All right.
No touchdown scored, plus 6,600.
That won't happen.
No. It's got odds for first touchdown scored by the player for the team, so that's the first one of the game there. And it's got a lot of other here's some interesting ones. Odds to win MVP. What would you think Cam Newton would be?
I would say 3-1.
How about minus 130?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, like, zero value in that. Peyton Manning, plus 275. Here's where I think you start getting into some – potential value. Guy like Luke Kuechly, plus 1,400.
Yeah.
C.J. Anderson, plus 2,000. Von Miller, plus 2,000. Greg Olsen, plus 2,200. Josh Norman, plus 2,800.
Some value in those guys.
Yeah.
It's hard to – I mean, it really is hard to project if you're saying – if you're going against the quarterback, who it's going to end up being.
Right.
That's tough.
Right. They have what color the liquid will be that is poured on the winning coach.
Okay.
Here's some alternate spreads for you. Carolina Panthers +10, -1400 is your number.
Yeah, that's about the value.
You take the Broncos. If you take the Broncos -10, your value is +700.
Broncos -10 is 700.
Yeah.
Okay. I wouldn't take that. But
what I would consider is, as we talked about it, if the Panthers get out to a big lead, here's an alternate spread for you. And I don't think the price is good enough. 17 is the alternate spread. Panthers minus 17. It's only plus 350.
No, that's not enough.
That's not nearly enough. And 14 and is plus
350. I just can't see the Broncos getting blown out because I think their defense is too good to get blown out.
I can see a possibility where if they get down early and Manning starts turning the ball over, I think the game get out of hand. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's going to, and that's not the way I would play, but I certainly could see that scenario happening. There's your standard stuff, like total team points for the Panthers, 24.5, Broncos, 20. And then it's got total touchdowns, over 3.5. I like the unders, actually, plus 275.
I like under 3.5 touchdowns. I'll take that.
Of course, again, if it gets out of hand and early, the Panthers.
It's just a matter of what kind of game you think it's going to be. I tend to believe it's going to be a low-scoring game.
And then they've got it broken down by yards. How many yards the first touchdown of the game will be? 1-7 is 140. 8-15 is plus 400. To me, so many of these are just guesswork.
Yeah.
Team to score the shortest touchdown in the game. Panthers minus 130. Broncos even.
I'd probably guess the Panthers.
I probably would, too, for that. There's a couple of weird ones. Would you like those?
Sure.
Just for grins. Will Left Shark make an appearance during the halftime show?
No.
I say no also, but yes, we'll get you 1,500.
No, no way. Left Shark's not coming to San Francisco.
Well, he's here.
Oh, is he?
He's in the display over there where you can buy stuff. Shark is there.
He's there.
You can take a picture with Left Shark.
Is he moving around?
No,
or
he's a stuffed Left Shark, but he's still Left Shark.
No. How do you know it's not Right Shark?
Well, because I think he said it was Left Shark.
Oh, well. Yeah. That makes sense.
All right, here's an interesting one for you. Which will be higher, Trump percentage points in the New Hampshire primary versus total points scored by the winning Super Bowl team?
Ooh. I think I'm going to go with Trump.
He's minus 200.
Okay.
So that makes sense. How about this? Will Panthers wide receiver Ted Ginn Jr. drop a pass?
Almost assuredly.
Yes, minus 120.
Yes.
If Steph Curry is shown during the broadcast, he will be wearing which of these? Personalized Steph Curry Panthers jersey? That's even. Cam Newton jersey, plus 300. Any other Carolina jersey, plus 500. No jersey, plus 200.
I'll go no jersey.
Yeah, although he usually wears one at those games.
Yeah, I guess so.
Will Manning be shown crying at any point in the broadcast?
No.
It says yes, plus 600.
No, I don't think Manning's a crier.
Will Mike Carey be wrong about a challenge? Yes, plus 135.
Of course he will.
Yeah, you might as well invest in that one right now. And if you think Manning will announce his retirement in a post-game interview, yes is plus 500.
Wow. That's
seems a little generous to me.
It seems generous. I think I would go with that.
Yeah. All right, we are going to take a very quick break. One segment to go. Don't go anywhere. Brett Fowler, AJ Hoffman, you're in San Francisco.
Live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud LLP. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back here, Radio Row, San Francisco. Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman, and just a few days away from Super Bowl 50. And for us, just a few more minutes here before we turn it over. And been an interesting show. We've had a lot of really good guests. We will have a bunch of great guests tomorrow as well. And, again, for those of you who are used to hearing our show the normal way that we do it, it is a little different. But that's kind of the realities of doing Radio Row here.
All right.
Did you see this story that USAtoday.com did where basically putting into historical perspective where Cam Newton's season actually ranks?
I did not.
And basically, he's in the top 10 in so many different categories that you might be surprised to hear. Most total touchdowns in a single season. Peyton Manning with the record with 56 in 2013, 55 passes, one run.
Yeah.
Cam Newton, seventh overall with 45.
Wow.
Seventh all time. Turnovers per play. Aaron Rodgers, 2011, was 1%, 6 turnovers in 598 plays.
All right.
Cam Newton, fourth all-time.
Really?
Yes, 14 turnovers in 661 plays for 2.12%. That's better than Drew Brees 2001, Peyton Manning 2013, Drew Brees 2012, Kurt Warner 1999, but fourth all-time. And percentage of a team's total yards. Number one all-time, Drew Brees 2012, 5,182, 78.8%. Cam Newton second all-time.
No joke.
4,473 yards.
He's had a hell of a season, man.
76.2% of his team's yardage. And interestingly, so of the group that of those quarterbacks, of the percentage of team's total yards, the guys who were at the highest, only Kurt Warner won a Super Bowl.
No.
Peyton Manning, 2013, lost a Super Bowl. Tom Brady, 2007, lost. Peyton Manning, 2004, lost in the AFC division. Divisional playoffs, Dan Marino in 84, lost a Super Bowl. Rodgers, 2011, lost in the divisional round. Brees, 2011, divisional round. Marino didn't even make the playoffs in 86. Brees, 2012, didn't make the playoffs. And Kurt Warner in 99 is the only one. So, but still, when you pull those four stats out, that's he's had a top 10 season of all time, maybe a top five.
That's pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive.
But that does include the rushing, which is one of the things that
a lot of those other guys don't have.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I mean, his passing numbers this season are impressive, but they're not
mind-boggling.
They're not special.
Right.
You know. I mean, he's a solid passer this year. But when you add in that second factor, yeah, he's a monster. He's been a monster all season long.
So it will be interesting to see how that plays out. And I'm looking forward to some of the matchups in the game, because the one area that I think makes this a unique game is Cam Newton. And can he be effective against that Broncos defense? There's some things he can do that guys like Tom Brady really couldn't.
Right.
And I think if he can get out of the pocket, if he can be the running game for them, that'll free up the running backs to actually run as well, and then that's going to open up play action, and I think they'll be able to do some damage. But if he turns the ball over, and the Broncos can force turnovers, man, and I think it's kind of the same thing I said about them when they played the Patriots. They were going to need to force a turnover that got them points, and they did. They forced a couple of them, and I think they're going to need to do that here. But, boy, the Panthers turn you over too. Every time, everything I can say about the Denver defense, I can also say about the –
I think the one spot where Denver's got an advantage over Carolina's defense is they're better pass rushers. But Carolina doesn't have any weak spots in the defense.
No.
I mean, even their secondary, where if you had to point to a weak spot, you'd probably say it's the secondary. They've got arguably the best corner in the league this year back there. The issue is, besides him, there's not a lot going on back there. But when you have a guy like that, that'll make up for a lot of it. So it shuts down one side of the field, or at least, you know, it limits one side of the field. They're both these defenses are really good. You know, I think it's going to come down to if the Broncos can get pressure with three guys like they did against New England, and maybe leave a guy to spy Cam and keep the rest of their guys in man coverage, I think they'll have some success. I think it's going to be difficult because Carolina's got a good offensive line too.
Yeah,
you know,
and interestingly, one of the guys who's been very, very good for them this year is Michael Orr.
Yeah, a guy who I think has sucked his entire career, playing pretty well.
You know what? He here's an interesting stat on him. You know how many sacks he allowed during the regular season?
How many?
Three.
That's impressive.
That's pretty darn good. For a left tackle.
Yeah.
Especially
with a mobile quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the other matchup that I'll be interested to see is Greg Olsen and how the Broncos match up with him, whether they use T.J. Ward, whether you see them.
I think the health of those safeties is important,
yeah,
for the Broncos,
because
too.
Those guys aren't right, that's a tough, tough matchup for them.
When you start talking about the Panthers and what it takes to beat them, you really do realize how complete that team is and how few soft spots they really have.
And really, I think the Broncos, but I don't think the Broncos have a ton of weaknesses either. They're just not good on offense.
Yeah.
And I think, can they be good enough? And is that what Peyton Manning can do for one last time? Can he be good enough? And if he can, I think they have a chance to win the football game. But I'm looking forward to this matchup, man. All right. Well, that is going to wrap it up for day one. We will be back here again tomorrow at 1 o'clock Pacific and doing another 4 hours. We've got just an incredible lineup already of guests. So please tune in. Hopefully you'll enjoy it. A lot more coming, so stick around. Don't leave the network. Till tomorrow, Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman, Radio Row here in San Francisco. Stay sportsy.